You can work yourself to the bone, but do you have to? Okay, fine, with 20 lakhs, maybe you can buy a fancier car or you can buy a bigger house. If that's what you're going for, do it. But if that's not what you're going for, then why do you have to kill yourself to get there, right? Like, beyond a certain point, you're not adding that much to your lifestyle anyway. So beyond a certain point, killing yourself, you know, wearing yourself thin, like, is not actually adding to your life. So I think when you make these calculations about what is meaningful to you, what do you want to spend on, what are you willing to live without, I think all of that is like coming from the same thought process. It helps you say no, it helps you cut down your expenses, it helps you figure out what you're willing to work hard for, where do you draw the line, what is important to you, why are you doing this. I feel like people either think about this stuff or they don't.
Welcome back to the show, guys. Urushi HV is an actor who quit a high-paying tech job in the US to move back to India to pursue something she's super passionate about, acting. If this is the second time you're hearing that intro, it's because, well, this is part two of my conversation with Urushi. So if you haven't checked out part one yet, then right now is the right time to do it, because this episode's going nowhere, and I would highly recommend checking it out before proceeding with this one. It'll give you a better idea of where we're coming from, and you'll also understand a little bit of the backstory to anything that we're talking about in this conversation. But anyway, in this episode, we talk about how getting your finances sorted before you take the plunge with anything in your career is super vital or super important. The moment you know your golden number, or you know the amount you need saved off in your bank, that it would be the ideal time for you to then take the next steps with whatever it is that you want to pursue. Also, how do you drastically cut down on expenses and look at earning more in the long run? How you better be ready to also take up everything that your job entails. So for instance, if you decide to become an actor, it just doesn't end with you, well, just showing up and just acting in front of the camera. You need to be ready to take on pretty much all of it and everything that comes with the job, which is to, you know, maybe file your taxes or go for auditions or do everything that the craft demands. And how overworking and wearing yourself thin is something that's just not worth it. I have had to realize this the hard way, and I'm guessing even Urushi figured that out too, going through these iterations over and over again. But man, it's just not worth it, overworking and getting yourself riled up and burning out and whatnot. So we talk about that as well. By the way, we also talk about lifestyle creep and hedonic adaptation. It's a topic that's super close to my heart, because every time I've spoken to anyone about it, there's always some new element or new perspective or new facet I've learned of it. So yeah, we talk about lifestyle creep and hedonic adaptation in this episode as well. If you don't know what that is, then you're in for a big, huge treat, and you're in for some knowledge treat, because that's what I've written down here, knowledge treat. Anyway, just like part one, this episode's full of laughs and such a super fun one. But more importantly, it will get you thinking, and I'm hoping acting too. So yeah, before we get into the conversation though, a quick mention of our partners. This episode's and show's audio partner is Sennheiser. So from pretty much all our recording equipments to our feedback monitoring equipments, Sennheiser has helped us all along the way. And so yeah, the microphones that we're using, the headphones that we're using, that's all by Sennheiser, and some great, incredible equipment as well. And I'm sure you can hear it as well in the quality. So yeah, if you don't know where to get started with procuring your equipment, then might I suggest Sennheiser. We'll talk a little bit more about this a little later in the episode. And also our location partner, Open Jam Studios, our community partner, Open Jam Studios. So we have shot and recorded our entire conversation episode here at Open Jam. I'll talk a little bit more about that collaboration as well later in the episode. Yeah, I guess that's it. That wraps up the intro. Let's get into part two of my conversation with Urushi HV. This is Against the Odds, and I'm your host, Akash Damodar. The show is all about inspiring people to take the unconventional path and lead a life that is truly fulfilling and rewarding. Watch and listen as talented individuals take us through their learnings, the challenges they face, and how they continuously adapt to overcome them. that's why I asked you also, how long did you spend trying to figure out the calls and all that you made for you said you made
fashion,
4-5
social media,
you made like 4-5 calls.
Yeah, yeah.
That is still a lot more than what people talk about fashion and wanting to do something. Because it's only when you talk to these people is when you realize, man, dude, this is not as easy as you think.
Yeah.
Or rather, this is not my, you know, that cup of tea at all. I need to be doing something else.
Yeah.
And like you said, the only way is to just get started and do something. Yeah. So
I think for a year, I tried a whole bunch of different things. Slightly less than a year. About 9 months in, I knew that it was just going to be acting. And if I was going to give it a shot, it would be only for acting. I just started off with one or two plays at that time. And I was like, okay, if I've managed to figure out how to get one or two plays, then I can keep going. So I was just like, bite the bullet, YOLO. And I had also, okay, I need to say this. I feel like a lot of people don't talk about this when they talk about like following your dream and all that. I had enough savings to know that I could get through a year, even if I didn't make any money. And I think that's something that people don't talk about enough. Like, yes, follow your dreams, but let's be real, there are bills to pay.
Hmm.
There are emergencies you need to save for. There's a certain, you know, like day-to-day expense that
different people have. Maybe the basic lifestyle as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like there is a certain romanticization of the starving artist, which it doesn't need to be like that. It can be, again, to each their own, but you don't have to get there. Like, you can do a lot of things that are adjacent to your main goal. As an actor, yes, I do want to just be an actor. Ideally, make all my money only from acting, but that's not how it works. I make money from like the social media job with Jagriti. I do writing like a little bit, editing a little bit, like whatever I can get my hands on, and like do other things also, voiceovers, whatever it might be. You have to be willing to think about the money and think about the business of what you're doing. As a self-employed person, there is a huge business aspect to it. You have to be proactive with your marketing, with meeting people, with networking. All of that is still...
You're donning all those hats, right?
Yeah, it's not just for, you know, people who are going to conferences and meeting people through LinkedIn. It's like for self-employed people, the way you get your work is if people know you. And how do people know you is you have to keep putting stuff out there or like talking to people and all of that. And I feel like a lot of people, again, you know, as we talked about the creativity versus technicality, a lot of people might like the work, but they don't want to do all the other stuff that's around the work, which is... filing your taxes and making sure you're
keeping,
yeah, all of that kind of stuff, right? There is a lot of dirty work that, not dirty work, but like a lot of paperwork that happens around to support that one dream. And I feel like people need to be aware that you have to look after your finances. You have to understand that there is other work. Because I know a lot of people who, and this they did this really well in Luck by Chance, the movie. Lots of actors who feel like if they're just great at what they do, everything will work out. And while that is true for some people, because they function on a certain level, like a genius level, but not all of us are geniuses. You have to be willing to do all the other stuff. You have to be willing to like go to the parties and meet people and stay in touch and go for their shows, right? You can't just invite people to your shows and never go and support anyone else's work. And a lot of people who just like to complain, be like, I'm not getting any work. I'm not getting any work. Like, okay, how many auditions did you send? Dude, in the last like 6 months, I've sent like three auditions and nothing. I sent three auditions a week. I get rejected from all of them. Like, but I'm still doing it. And I know a lot of people who are like, I know I'm going to get rejected. So I don't submit the video only. But then you've already rejected yourself. No, at least let the other person reject you. Because I think I get one out of 20, 25 auditions that I submit. So if you're not submitting 20 auditions, there you'll get, dude. And like I will acknowledge that I am conventionally like photogenic, et cetera, et cetera. Like I do have a commercially viable look, which does help me. There is an advantage to that. There are people who are more unconventional looking that have a harder time. But then they are submitting 30 audition videos to get one, right? Like however beautiful you are, if you never submit an audition video, then what? You're never going to... This is like that basketball court, no? You miss all the... you miss all the shots you never take. Exactly. So I just feel like we must be aware of the work around the work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so true. I mean, it's all part and parcel of the whole thing. Right?
Yeah.
And dude, our common friend Martin itself, right? When he was, I don't know if he spoke about it on the show, but he was talking to me that day. He's like, dude, I had like a late night the previous night. I think I had a gig. I finished that up. I came back home. I'm like, that's crazy. That itself must have been late. He's like, yeah. And then I had to shoot a video for an audition. I'm like, what the hell? What are you talking about? He's like, yeah, dude. I had to send it out at about 3 a.m. And I did that and I went to bed and here I am. And we're shooting first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, bro, that's some crazy drive. He's like, it's not just drive. It's just, it's something I have to do.
It's part of the job.
Yeah. Chances I'll get rejected. He's like, I know that I may not be a good fit for that. Or it could be that maybe someone else is better, whatever. But the fact of the matter is I had to check that box off and I did it.
Yeah.
I was like, so true. You have to show up.
Yeah. And there was a great conversation about this on Clubhouse at some point during the lockdown about how auditioning is part of your job as an actor. It's not an interview to get a job. It is part of your job. Auditioning is part of, you have to be willing to do auditions if you want to get the job. I mean, like, even with interviews, right? Like, people apply to like 200, 300 places, then get called back by maybe like 10, then get through like maybe 3 interviews, and then you get one job offer, man. It's the same thing. Like, I don't understand why we have, okay, you do one interview and then you stick to that job for like 2 years or 3 years or whatever, which is a different story. As an actor, you have to interview for every single job. But if you don't consider that part of your job and you feel entitled to say like, oh, why should I have to submit or not?
Yeah.
It's not about trying to get the job. This is your job, buddy. Like 90% of your job is just submitting audition videos. Yeah. And everyone just needs to get used to that.
Dude.
Reality checks.
Cashing that check, bitch. Yeah,
exactly.
No, dude, I saw this podcast. I think Priyanka Chopra itself, when she moved to the States. And for her first role, I think in Quantico itself, she had to audition.
Yeah.
And she was there. I think she spoke about this. I don't know which podcast, but anyway, she spoke about how she was in this room where all these other actors were, and everyone's good looking, everyone's beautiful, and she's like, damn, I don't think I can do this because, well, I'm a brown girl and I'm supposed to be playing this role. But, and then she just, you know, goes to excuses herself and goes to the restroom, and she talks to herself in the mirror, and she's like, dude, I've done like 50 movies. I'm like, you know, like supposed to be a veteran back home, at least for the most bit. These guys have barely done like probably, you know, movies in single digits and probably not even the leads.
Yeah.
I've already gotten, you know, like the upper hand. And so she's like, you know, constantly telling herself, she's affirming. She goes back and she calmly kills it and comes. But imagine if it was the other way around. She's like, oh, I'm a big actor already and I just don't need to audition. Like you said, it's part of the freaking job. Yeah. It is the job. Forget part of the job.
And honestly, however good you can be, the most excellent actor in the world, but casting is not just about your skill, right? It is about your appearance. Let's say you're being cast as a family. You need to have that resemblance to other people. So you might be the best actor, but if you don't fit into that family they're trying to cast for, it's not going to work. I have a lot of problems where they don't cast me because the male lead is not taller than me. And they have that conventional idea that the man has to be taller. And then if they're fixed on me, then they need to find a male actor who's taller. So that kind of, all of that stuff plays a role. You could be the most drop-dead, gorgeous, talented, perfect human being, but you just might not be a fit for that ad, like for that one thing that they want to do, that one look that they want to create. And so I think that personally makes it easier for me to deal with the rejections, because it's not just about my skill. Maybe my skill was lacking. Maybe it could be one of these other 10 things. And so just water off a duck's back, man. Just have to keep going, I feel like.
So
people take it too personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? No idea. But yeah, I think it's an entitlement, dude. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, much. And, you know, I have had this conversation with someone else about how, you know, a lot of actors are obviously good-looking people. And they have been told that they are good looking from such a young age. It's been planted in their head that, you know, beta, so good looking, become an actor, so good looking, become an actor, that they feel like, okay, I'm here now, ready to be an actor.
Yeah.
But why isn't anything happening? No. Like,
give me the damn role.
Yeah. Dude, that's one of the, I will say very frankly that I'm shit scared to go to Bombay, because the level that they function on seems nerve-wracking to me. Like, I need to acknowledge the fact that my financial situation is never going to give me peace of mind in Bombay. And like, I already have so much anxiety. If I'm getting a decent amount of work here and I'm doing okay for myself, that's enough for now. Because there is this concept of pushing harder and doing more and all of that. I get it. But Bombay is damn scary, man. Like, here at auditions, there are like 5 other people. You know everyone. It's all the same suspects.
Like a picnic.
Like, yeah. Like, I know when they're casting for this, for something that I fit into, I know who my 3 other, 4 other competitors are. And we will often refer each other. If someone's not available, we have a like nice, it's a very healthy ecosystem in Bangalore, to be very honest. Everyone's chill. But in Bombay, the level, it's like,
dog eat dog, right?
Cutthroat, man. And I don't know, honestly, if I have the emotional fortitude to deal with it. More than that, I don't have the finances to deal with it unless I'm looking for a sugar daddy. Just saying. If anyone has a house in, like, you know, Bandra, Pali Hill, you know, I can do that. So unless all that stuff is taken care of, Bombay's not happening. Because I can deal with the cutthroat or I can deal with the finances. I can't do both.
Both.
Yeah. So I think we should be a little reality check there
also. I think one itself is enough. That itself is a little too much.
So we should be a little reality check there also, because with this entitlement comes delusion. Which is that, chalo chalte hai Bombay. And you get eaten alive and come back. I have friends who have lived in Bombay, worked in Bombay for so many years, and now are like, dude, I'll move back to Bangalore or what? Like, I'll move to Bangalore or what? Maybe. Because here, I think between Bangalore, Chennai and Cochin, there's quite a bit of swapping that's happening. Like, there are multilingual actors who are just South Indian actors, right? Like Shraddha Srinath and Shruti Haryan and all that.
Yeah.
They do Kannada movies, they do Tamil movies. Malayalam doesn't have a lot of overlap, but Kannada and Tamil, people go back and forth all the time.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people who are South Indian who live in Bombay are like, why not expand into like 3 other film industries rather than restricting to one.
And that could open up doors back into Bollywood, right?
Or exactly, whatever. Exactly. Yeah. So I think we should all check the delusion also that comes with the entitlement.
Oh man, no, but this dude, the whole reality check, I was actually going to go into talking about how people think you have to move to Mumbai and in the eye of the tiger, literally sit there and, you know, like fight, kill other people, cutthroat, you know, get through this whole thing. And then at the end of it, what, basically you get maybe a couple of roles and then you're done. They chew you and they spit you out and you're done.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, they come back and then they probably settle, or in their mind settle, but which is actually a good win if they had, you know, gotten into getting in here itself.
Yeah.
And yeah, for sure. I think that's a,
The other thing I want to add to that is I was having this conversation also with some actor friends, again on Clubhouse. Lots of good things happen on Clubhouse.
We spoke on Clubhouse. You
remember? Yeah. No, but like there were so many film groups that I would like sit in on conversations. And, you know, we need to acknowledge that there is plenty of work for you to do as an actor that does not involve you being a star. So if you want to be a star, your career path is completely different. Because if you want to be an actor, there's lots that you can do. Like, there are people who make their entire lives and their entire living being theater practitioners, right? They teach to make money. They obviously are creating their own work. When they create their own work, they obviously, you know, they collaborate, they get sponsors, they sell tickets, they make their money back. Like, they live their whole lives as professional actors. But you'll never know who they are. They'll have one small role here, one small role there. But they never reach stardom. And they are still as much of an actor as a Deepika Padukone or an Anushka Sharma. There's just famous actors and there's non-famous actors. So you have to know whether you want to be an actor or you want to be a star. Because,
but then they'll also have the community. They'll also have like a following. They'll also have people who know them, right? Like the point, people think that this is the only way to make it.
Yeah.
Right? Which is so weird.
Yeah. And even like within the theater circles, there are different schools of thought. There are different styles. You know, there's so much to learn even within that field. And a lot of these people are working together, working with each other. They all know each other. They have people who follow their work because of their aesthetic or their expertise or whatever it is. There's a whole culture unto itself that is just never on a big screen.
Mm.
So it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's still there.
Yeah. And dude, it's, if you think about it, with that overlap between being a content creator or so-called influencer, let's not use that word, whatever, like someone who puts out stuff online or is influencing people, and then there's your actors and all of that, the common thread is that you you can literally open up so many doors because of you just making a mark, or you're putting yourself out there, right? All of these are literally open to the public eye, if you think about it, right? So you can, if you make it as a small-time actor, and like you said, maybe that kind of trickles down into a sponsorship deal, and then someone else notices you from the sponsorship deal, and then that kind of becomes its own path, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, people who have, we know actors who have become stars by doing this.
Yeah.
Right?
100%.
Yeah. And now you're seeing a lot of those actors pop up.
Yeah.
Right? If you see, especially a lot of these Netflix and Amazon Prime shows and all of that, you're like, this guy used to be like a, you know, like a tertiary actor.
Yeah. No, that's what I wanted to say is also that there's no such thing as an overnight success, man. Anyone that you think has, like, for example, in The White Tiger, Adarsh Gaurav was deemed an overnight success. He is not an overnight success. He has been slogging his ass off for years. He's done a whole bunch of shows. He's done a bunch of ads. He's been in the theater space, I'm sure. He's done workshops. He's really worked on his craft. And he has now made it to a Netflix Oscar-nominated movie. But that didn't happen. He wasn't just like plucked out from some garden somewhere and put into a movie, right? Like, he really worked for it. So there's exactly as you were saying, you know, you never know what is going to get you where. You just, the more you keep doing it, the higher the probability that something's going to work. That's it. Even with making videos, right? You make 100 videos, maybe one will go viral. You make 3 videos and think they're going to go viral, that's not going to happen. You just need, it's a numbers game, man. You just have to.
So true.
Put stuff out there.
Dude, I want to definitely talk about this whole strategic quitting and strategic planning, or let's even say calculated risks. Because I didn't know that you had, I didn't know that you actually had a year's worth of like expenses covered. How did you finally get to that? I mean, did you inherently know that's what you wanted, or did someone tell you, or how did you know, okay, I needed like 1 year's? Because this is all arbitrary, right?
Yeah.
This is like, how did you end up at 1 year? And this is the number I need to hit. I have this saved up. Now I can just go and actually try, because, well, I can always look back at this and, you know, I don't have to worry about anything else.
A lot. I'm a very detailed tracker. I track everything. I track my expenses. I categorize them. So, like, at any given point in time, I know what area I'm spending the most money on, whatever. I've been tracking my finances for a long time. So when I moved back to India, I had to sort of like restart that process to figure out like the cost of living and, you know, how much I'm making versus how much I'm spending. So I actually spent a year sort of just tracking my expenses. And then, like, you know, after 6 months, you get an idea like, okay, I can live on this much.
Correct.
Now, if I can live on this much multiplied by 12, that's how much savings I need. I mean, it's not all like cash sitting in my purse, right? Like, it's there. Like,
it's inside my pillow and yeah, it's inside.
Yeah. It's in the between the bricks. It's just, it's like, I know that money exists in different places. Like, it's in one FD here, it's in one RD there, it's in one PF here, kind of thing. So I was like, okay, I know that money exists. Over the years that I've been working, it exists wherever I need it to exist. There's this much bank balance that makes me feel comfortable. And now we see. So for me, it was a very natural progression, because I do think about these things a lot anyway. So,
But how did you finally decide 1 year? And how did you get to that? You know, and were you comfortable doing that? Because I the reason why I'm, you know, like nudging and prodding so many times is because I did exactly that. When I quit my job, I was like, I didn't have an arbitrary number or whatever. I was like, if I had to survive for, let's say, a year and a half without making any money at all, can I survive? And I look at my savings and all that, I'm like, my statements look great. I think I'm okay.
Yeah.
And another thing that I learned is I drastically brought my expenses down.
Yeah, man.
I shot it down like big time.
Same.
I cannot explain. I can't stress on how beneficial this is.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it literally, like, you know, got like a huge weight lifted off me.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this is great. This is manageable.
There's so much stuff that you convince yourself you need, but you don't need it at all. Like, oh my God, just makeup and skincare. I now use Pond's face cream, which is like 200 rupees is so much. It lasts me like 3 months.
I like how you said so much. So not much, like 200 ml, so much.
So much. Okay, it's like a big fat jar. It's fine. I don't need like Clinique or whatever. Of course, Clinique is beautiful and it's a better product and it's better for your skin and all. But remain in your aukat, no? Like, you can't just buy the ponds and keep it. So in that sense, dude, I used to be such a sucker for like these scented anything, okay? Like scented candles and scented this and like little essential scented oils, scents. Essential oils and all. Like, I love all that stuff. So I used to just buy it. Like, whenever I saw it, I'm like, I like this. Now it's like, one, you have it at home. It's going to last for another 6 months. You don't need this again. So it's just a lot of talking myself out of like bad habits, basically. But so much of what I thought I needed, you don't actually need. Some things I do still prioritize on because my appearance is still related to my work. So like, I do spend more than most people do on like haircuts or on hair color or anything that's going to count for my work. So in that sense, yes, I do still spend on those things, but a lot of things you can live without, man.
Yeah.
I don't really need 7 types of brown lipstick. I mean, they're all unique in their own way, and I get it. For the sake of art, I do understand.
Different personalities and different...
Yeah, they're all for different looks, you know? Like, I get it, but let's draw the line at it. Like, and even with, like, shoes and bags and all, I'm like, okay, if I have one black tote bag, I will not buy another black tote bag. I will buy a brown tote bag, a black crossbody bag. So in those ways, I'm trying to... Because otherwise, I just buy anything, man. Just hoarding, like, I was...
You have a bag for bags and then another bag for another bag and...
my bag, honestly, if you look at it, is just a bag full of bags, okay? I'm not even joking. It's just like a bag full of pouches. So this joke about a bag of bags is just my life.
Okay, guys, taking a small break from the conversation to talk about our collaborations and partnerships. So first and foremost, I'd like to talk about our collaboration with Hubhopper. So for people who don't know what Hubhopper is, it's a podcast providing platform, a hosting provider platform, where if you don't know where to host your show or if you're unsure of where to get started with creating audio podcasts, then Hubhopper Studio is the way to go. If you wish to start your own podcast for free, then you can visit hubhopperstudio.com. Hubhopper is one of India's leading podcast creation platform. Start your podcast with Hubhopper Studio and get your voice heard across platforms like Spotify, Gaana, Google Podcasts, Wink Music, and more. Click on the link in the episode description or visit hubhopperstudio.com. The Audio It Against the Odds is brought to you by Sennheiser. Yep, that's our audio partner. So I'm sure you already know what Sennheiser does. But for people who don't know, you've been either living under a rock or maybe you don't know what these incredible pieces of equipment can really do. So from some of the best industry standard and leading microphones to some incredible headphones to, well, you know, any kind of audio equipment, Sennheiser's got your back. I'll leave a link to pretty much all their products and a catalog in the description below for you guys to go check it out. But yeah, if you like what you're hearing here, it's all because of these microphones. So yeah, you want to go check out the MK4s and the MK8s by Sennheiser. And yeah, truly level your game up when it comes to audio and take it to the next level. Also, this episode is shot and recorded at OpenJam Studios, our community partner. So if in case you want to just quickly get started with creating content, either the audio or the video bit in a very professional looking setup, or maybe you want to invite guests over and you don't have the right place to shoot or record your content, then might I recommend OpenJam Studios. So yeah, the space has been incredibly beneficial in terms of how the place is set up, where it's located in the city, and just how professional the workspace is. So if you guys would need a studio to get started with your creation process, then just get to it. I'll leave a link to their website in the description below. And yeah, they've got all the equipment on board. So you just need to come on down here, sit, pay for the space per hour, and then get going. It's as simple as that.
But yeah, because I started making so much money so early, I just spend it, dude. Also, it was like a nice feeling, right? Like, you're like, oh, my salary.
Yeah,
I do I need this Michael Kors bag? I do not. But do I want it?
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah. So, man, for a year, I was like, I spent quite recklessly. And then I was like, okay.
Dude, so it must have been doubly hard for you to, you know, get off that bandwagon, right? I mean, how did you just pull the plug? Because, dude, I'm telling you, the same thing, you know, happened with me too, where if I needed to get something, and okay, so I started becoming a little more intentional about my purchases way earlier on. And I used to, like, save on all the, you know, like, the topsoil bullshit and all the unwanted nonsense so I can really spend on the best of the best.
Yeah.
Right? So if I need to buy something, it's like, oh, I need to, like, have it completely, like, you know, to the T exactly the way I want it.
Yeah.
I don't mind spending additionally on that. So initially, I started becoming a little more intentional about my purchases. So over time, it became, like, ingrained almost.
Mm.
But, when I decided to quit my job, though, and at that point, I remember if I needed that, if I needed something, I'm like, just 20K, it's not a big deal. I can buy it. And just buy it.
Just 20K?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, my stomach is churning. Okay.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's again an arbitrary number.
Yeah.
But, you know, I there was no thinking twice about whether I have the money or not.
Yeah.
Not whether I need it. I'm talking more about the value of money, right? Then when I decided to quit, I was like, okay, do I have money saved up? Yeah. Do I have rent for the next so many months? Yeah. Can I still live the similar lifestyle that I have? Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I'm married too. So I'm like, a lot of things with my wife? Yeah. Great. Then let's do it. But.
So you're saying she's your sugar mama.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
for sure.
Yeah.
But.
Trophy husband. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. A lot of people don't even know she's sitting there. So you're just talking to the void. Sugar mama. And then like, who is she talking to?
No, just put a little insert. No more, like, ding. Yeah. Oh, fix it in post, man. Fix it in post.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, but I remember the moment I decided to do this, it was like, I had to tell myself 100 times, dude.
Yeah, dude.
I don't need to spend on this.
Yes.
I don't need to spend on this. I don't need to spend on this. And I went, you won't believe, I went a year and a half without a salary. At all.
Mm.
Didn't pull any money, nothing. My company was making money, but I was like, it'll go in all the R&D and whatever additional expenses that's
goes back
for
into
a company.
The company.
Yeah, goes back into a company. I'm not going to pull a pie. And I stuck with that. But the biggest thing that kept coming back to me, and especially because we're all societal beings, is every other asshole is earning money right now. While I am not moving forward, right? I'm constantly thinking about that. I'm like, shit, if I had done this for a year and I was at this, whatever, this role, I would have gotten so much. That was a big challenge, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm already being intentional about my purchases, I'm also cutting down everything else I can. I'm not pulling any money. And I'm like, my God, dude. And
what
then
have
I'm
I got myself into?
Really?
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, dude, it is probably the best detox I've done in my life. And I am a changed person now. I'm completely like off that bandwagon. I don't think I'll ever go back. I'm still very intentional about if I need to buy something, if I need to buy another laptop, I'm not going to settle for some shit. I don't mind like splurging. I'll splurge 3 times the amount as long as I get exactly what I need.
Yeah.
So I know what I have to spend on.
Yeah.
Right. So that has helped me. Like, it's invaluable right now.
Yeah.
Like, and now for the show as well, I have to invest back into this heavily because like you said, this didn't happen like out of happens and not like some camera and lenses fell out of nowhere. We had to spend and we figured things out. I was like, I'll get the best. That's it. And I don't think too much. I think a lot about whether I should get this or that. But once I buy it, it's like, it's worth it.
Yeah.
But it's very tough to get to that, dude. Because there's lifestyle creep, which is a term that the West talks about time and again, which is basically what you experience, right? You're 22, you got a job, high-paying job. I'm my own boss. I can buy whatever the hell I want. And that's what you did. And then you're like, shit, I have to keep this up.
Yeah, exactly. And then like over the years, right, everything that was a luxury becomes normal. So then your
that
new
becomes
luxury,
your new norm.
Yeah. So then to push that luxury further becomes more and more difficult. I think where I am now, speaking of like prioritizing expenses, I know there are a few things that I really don't want to compromise on. I really love good food, okay? Like, I really love good food. Like, it doesn't have to be expensive food, but it has to be really good food. So I'm not going to, you know, half-ass that.
Yeah.
But there are certain, like, big expenses I can easily cut out, like hard liquor. I am never paying for gin again. Because first of all, I don't enjoy it. And then it just saves so much money. Man, beer is so much cheaper. So much cheaper. So why not? So there are that way, like, and even with the skincare and makeup, right? Like, I've purged a lot of, like, my compulsivity to buy things. And I know I can live without that. But then I will spend money on therapy. Because I know I need it and it adds so much value to my life. Whereas for someone else, they might have different priorities. But I think if you prioritize, you can figure it out. Like, you don't have to, like, you know, go straight to, like, eating curd rice 3 meals a day, like, for the rest of your life. And
or
living,
pull your gray for 6 months.
Yeah, like, exactly. Or, like, you know, like, living under a flyover. Like, you don't have to do that. People who are in that situation are not doing it by choice, right? Like, you don't have to go there. You can just prioritize, as you said, like, know what you're willing to spend on. And just so much that you think you need, you don't need, man. You really don't need. But that being said, you know, among theater people, I'm still, like, on the posh end of theater people. Because, I mean, so as I said, part of me is American and, like, there are certain things that I can live without, but do I hate myself enough to live without it? I don't know. So there are a lot of theater people who, you know, I was just shifting houses now. One person was like, "You're getting a washing machine, no?" I'm like, "Yeah, dude, then what? Like, what do you think? I'm gonna, like, hand wash it or what outside?" He's like, "Yeah, man, you're gonna save so much money." Then I was like, "Yeah, I know, but I just want to hedge my bets, you know, because there is also this time payoff, like, you know, the time that you spend and the money that you're saving."
For sure. It's a no-brainer, even according to me.
Yeah. So I think just the amount of time that I would save would make me more money than that washing machine is costing me.
Correct.
Which is true for me, which may not be true for someone else. So to each their own. But I still think I am, like, so now if I, like, recently I attended a workshop and it was just all artists, independent artists. And one person, like, went to a really posh school in Delhi and, like, you know, had all these, like, connections and all of that, you know, parents drive these fancy cars and all. So then later when I was talking to him, I was like, I'm also like you, dude. I'm also like you. You went on international holidays as a child. Yeah, me also. It's like my dirty confession now, you know, like, I have to hide this privilege.
You come to the side, I won't talk to you.
Yeah. You also went out for swimming class and piano class and all. We can't tell the others. Because everyone else is, like, coming from such a different background, right? So now it's just like one dirty secret for me, like, to be like, I spent 800 rupees on dinner. Yeah, it's a thing.
That guy spent 24 rupees.
Like, you know, just simple things like, I really love Blue Tokai coffee, okay? But it's so expensive. And the fact that I'm spending, like, 250 rupees on a coffee to someone whose monthly coffee budget is 250 rupees, it's just like, you know, you can go to Darshini and get it for
10 bucks.
Rupees, right? The bakery, you can get 3 coffees for 10 rupees. Like, but cold brew, bro. Like, so there are some things that I think I will always be a bit of a bougie bitch, like, and I just have to make peace with it and find other people, like, in the Whisper network to be like, yeah, I'm also a bougie bitch, just, you know, have my little my indulgences on the side.
No, I think you have to first of all know what those things are, right?
Yeah.
So there's this half which you spoke of, which is you cut down expenses. The other side also works, which is you start earning so much more also.
Yeah.
So there are freelancers, there are people who are individuals who have been charging the same damn rate since they were born. I'm like, bro, just, like, shoot it up.
Yeah.
And you cut down half your clients. Get double the amount.
Exactly.
If you've been doing something good, that is. If you've been doing the same thing, then you deserve the shit you stick there. Otherwise, but if you've been doing
reality
good,
checks.
Yeah, bro, yeah, cash that shit in, like. No, but basically that, right? So you can also do that. And then, you know, instead of having to let go of these smaller things, you focus on the bigger aspects.
Yeah.
And that goes a long way.
That is also something that I've done, which a lot of people don't seem to do as self-employed people. Over the years, I have increased my minimum budget. Like, so now if this is like, initially when I started, of course, like I'm not charging or I'm doing things for very little money or for just, you know, like, okay, we'll buy you lunch and dinner. That's where everybody starts, and I get it. But like now that I have 4 years of experience, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to do your student short film unless it's like a subject that like I really deeply want to talk about or be a part of. Like that, those exceptions are always there. If it's like a really good friend and mentor who's experimenting with something, all those exceptions aside, I'm not going to do your random
whatever
thing.
This is, yeah.
Like, and this is one thing that I feel like casting agents need to get their heads around. They'll try to talk you down, okay? I want to be like, there are like 5 million actors who are desperate to do this. If you can't afford me, just leave it, no? Like, just go find someone else instead of trying to talk me down. Like, I understand this is not in your budget. School.
More. Yeah.
Yeah, but then that also comes from a place of knowing that you can get other work, knowing that you're prioritizing other work, knowing that 2 well-paid shoots is worth more to you than 5 or 10 really shitty gigs. And the shitty gigs also, it's not just about how much you're making in that day. It's all the little things around it, right? A big budget production will have a lot of infrastructure around it. They'll have a stylist, they'll have a makeup artist, they'll have a vanity van, they'll have snacks, all of that, right? Like, so if you are at a place where you can just invest in those sorts of good productions, just do 2 of those and chill. No, like, why you want to struggle through a bunch of things that you, and the time that you save there, you can spend on training, you can spend on working out, you can spend on upskilling yourself, you can further invest in your career and in yourself, which will enable you to get that big budget gig, which, you know, if you're just brute forcing it, like I remember talking to somebody who was just like, no, you have to brute force it, there's no other way, work 3 films at once. I was like, that's not productive, because if you're constantly doing 3 shitty films at any given point in time, you have overbooked yourself to the point where even if someone big budget comes along, you've already tied yourself up into this other random shit. No, so I like this.
Shit.
Gyan, I'm giving, dude, as if I figured everything out. Some of my mentors are going to watch this and be like, heavy, yeah, you'll talk now.
Let her come with a blue tokai, bloody.
Yeah. I'll only be crying to them later. Be like, But I've gotten a lot of good reality checks from people whose work I admire. Like, one of the things was, initially I was very like, I'm only going to be an actor. Like, I'm not going to dilute the work that I do. And multiple people told me over multiple conversations, that's not how it works, buddy. If you're going to be self-employed, you better be willing to do everything. Like, even documentary filmmakers do an ad every now and then, right? Because you have to pay the bills.
Correct.
So the same way, like, excuse me, be willing to be a writer, be willing to be an assistant director, be willing to be a production person. Like, stay in the space, of course. So don't dilute that. But also be more flexible and about doing other things, because all of those things will eventually facilitate your acting also. Like, if you ever want to write a script one day, you know what goes into it. How elaborate should your script be? How budgeted should it be? You know all that because you've done production. So all of those things will help you be a better creator, writer, actor, whatever it might be. So I took a long time to understand this. You were right. You know who you are.
Or who they are.
Yeah, they know who they are.
Oh, man.
See, yeah, some things, I guess, you just have to learn through experience. Like, all this bhashan I'm giving because I've made so many bad decisions, because I've put myself in situations that I shouldn't have been in. All this gyan comes having done some dumb shit. No one figures everything out.
Yeah, you're not born with this knowledge.
Yeah.
And, dude, I think one thing that we should touch upon here is, you said you need to know the value of your time.
Yeah.
Right? So it could be what you're investing into in terms of something that makes your life easier. It could be some tech, or it could be some automation or something in your life. Like you said, a washing machine is something that helps you.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer for me too, because it's basically taking away time from my craft. Or
yeah.
Anything, like maybe sitting down here with Odushi instead
yeah.
of, you know, like
yeah.
drinking, whatever. So I'm thinking, you once you know how much you would inherently charge for an hour, or, you know, what your cost is for an hour, you know,
yeah.
which is something that companies are very good at doing.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in a corporate company, when you're a big setup, everyone is looking at numbers. It's LOEs. It's how much they charge. It's a per hour rate. It's like you're a commodity.
Everyone has a price tag.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right? So when you have an hourly thing there,
yeah,
the best thing you can learn is kind of trying to think, I mean, introspecting on that, especially when you're self-employed.
Yeah.
Because once you have, you know, you could be employed too at a company and still know your worth in terms of your time outside work and how you're going to be dedicating that into doing anything else as well.
Yeah.
Right? So of course, that's a big thing. I get that. But if you know your the number, I mean, how much you would charge per hour, then that's basically taking away from that. So if someone tells you that, hey, this is how much, this entire thing is going to set you back 16, 20 hours a week and it's going to pay you X amount. And the other guy comes and says, it's probably 10 hours, we'll pay you the same X amount. You would obviously take the one that's lesser hours, right?
Yeah.
And I think that also comes from just like, you know, putting yourself out there, going through that whole thing over and over again, and then it kind of becomes easy for you to do that. But
yeah,
we don't do that, right? Who sits down and says, oh yeah, if I sit and do this, basically two and two, okay, if I'm charging $2,000 an hour, then I'm losing out on $4,000. But no one thinks like that.
Yeah.
But it's actually time lost, which is money lost, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference that, first of all, I just want to, before I get into this bhashan, be like, this is 100% coming from a place of privilege. It's because I have a solid education. I've had the chance to work with really big companies. A lot of what I've learned has been because of my exposure to people who function at this level.
Correct.
A lot of people don't have that kind of mentorship. They don't have that kind of access. They literally have no one in their lives to have this conversation with.
Correct.
And so I completely understand that perspective. This is not from that perspective.
But it also lets people know that this is also a possibility.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. You had a very obvious disclaimer, which is when you get started, you better be ready to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
You better be ready to do it at pretty much any price.
Yeah.
Or do it for free or just for food.
Yeah.
Or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And eventually, when you start making a mark, then you can always, yes, you know, like, you know, put a tag to it, which,
yeah,
makes a lot of sense. And I think people would, whoever's pragmatic or practical enough, would get it.
Yeah.
But on the other side, flip side, people also need to know that eventually it's not always going to be this.
Yeah.
You will get to the point where you can actually call, yes, some of these shots.
Yes.
And that's, yeah, what you're talking about as,
yeah,
well.
Right? And, yeah, so I think, yeah, a lot of people come from a place of fear. I think that, you know, if I say no, then am I missing out? So I had this conversation recently about potentially going to do like a master's either in acting or in performance studies or whatever. And I had a conversation with somebody on Clubhouse because I was petrified of like even thinking about getting a higher education because I didn't want to lose momentum, which is exactly what we're talking about, right? Like, what if you say no? Like, then you lose momentum, then you know, opportunity cost, this, that. You start like getting hyper about it, which I was 100%. I was like, at this point in my career, at the age that I'm at, can I afford to like disappear for 2 years and come back? Like, that was my big question. And this person that I was talking to, Jihan Manekshaw, who runs the Drama School Mumbai, he said, coming from a place of FOMO and that's not going to be beneficial to you. Okay, fine. You disappear for 2 years, come back. You did it before, you'll do it again. It's not like people are going to forget that you exist. And you're going to come back with more experience, with more of an education, with a larger network, with more experience, with a different point of view. So what if you're 2 years older? So what if you haven't done a paid gig in 2 years? That doesn't diminish your value as an artist. You have all obviously spent those 2 years gaining something and you're going to come back with that. And I was like, oh, shit. What a knowledge, what a
can
wisdom.
Can you come with me to this college?
What a wisdom, right? Like, and so I think that really helped me because I was 100% functioning from a place of FOMO, from a place of like, yeah, FOMO is the right word. There's no other. I thought I'll, you know, think of a different phrase, but there's no other phrase. It was just FOMO. So I think as you're talking about these people who are constantly busy when they might not need to be, are coming from a place of fear, I think.
So true, dude. And I think. No, it is. It definitely is. Because even now, I was talking to my previous client that she's the last client I'm going to pick up or partner with for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
Because I'm not getting enough time to create my own original content. I'm not,
yeah,
getting time to create my podcast. And I don't need to, like, just because, let's say I'm making 10 lakhs in a month. well, you can also make 20 lakhs. No, bro, why don't you take the other client? No, I don't want to.
Yeah. Like, and that's okay. And yeah. That's okay.
Exactly. And especially having brought down these expenses we spoke about, it doesn't matter.
This brings me to that strategic quitting that we were talking about, which is the ability to say no and the ability to know when something is not working. You can work yourself to the bone, but do you have to? Okay, fine, with 20 lakhs, maybe you can buy a fancier car or you can buy a bigger house. If that's what you're going for, do it. But if that's not what you're going for, then why do you have to kill yourself to get there, right? Like if you're already, and this is the same argument that people have about why billionaires shouldn't exist. Beyond a certain point, you're not adding that much to your lifestyle anyway. So beyond a certain point, killing yourself, you know, wearing yourself thin, like, is not actually adding to your life. So I think when you make these calculations about what is meaningful to you, what do you want to spend on, what are you willing to live without, I think all of that is like coming from the same thought process. It helps you say no, it helps you cut down your expenses, it helps you figure out what you're willing to work hard for, where do you draw the line, what is important to you, why are you doing this. I feel like people either think about this stuff or they don't.
They don't. Yeah.
If you start thinking about it, it will filter into every part of your life over time, not
exactly
one
what I was
going to
say. It's not like an overnight thing again. Right? Yeah. It's going to take you maybe not just time, it's also experiences through that time. It's like you're going through that cycle over and over again. Then, like, it makes sense. Practically, I'm seeing it firsthand.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So true. Man. Oh, man.
What happens to a podcast if we both just keep agreeing? Where does the conversation go?
This
like,
is not one of those.
Correct.
It's not like an antagonistic podcast. It's fine, dude. This is all chill.
We're allowed to agree.
Yeah, we're only allowed to agree. Yeah, all the parts where we disagree has been cut out in post. So fuck you guys. You can't get to see that. Anyway, dude, this was great. I think that's a good place for us to wrap things up.
Yes.
The way I see it is probably this is going to be a two-part bit because it's a really long conversation and I don't... And I try really...
What time is it, man?
It's a little past 5.
I'm talking about an hour and a half, no? More than that.
A little longer than that, yeah. So, and something I've been trying to hone a lot and really focus on is improving in terms of a conversation and not having to do any sort of editing when it comes to the conversation in post.
Yeah, yeah.
And for the last 20-odd episodes or so, it's been that.
Nice.
Which is something that I'm slowly trying to, you know, work towards. Yeah. So apart from obviously suddenly we like cough or sneeze or some shit. Not sneeze during COVID. Cough.
Yeah.
And whatever, maybe like a small break. But apart from that, I'm trying to keep it as talk or raw as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd like to keep all of this is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. There's nothing in here that I need you to edit.
Only the disagreeable parts which we... Cool. So
where we talk about your sugar mama, that part. No.
That's a different show, only. I'm starting a separate podcast itself for that. Sponsored by Sugar Mama.
How to find your best sugar mama. Have abs. Be cool.
Quit your job now. Yes. Call 1-800... No. Anyway.
Oh my God. Should we set that up as a business? 1-800 Sugar Mama. Connecting lonely rich ladies with strapping young men.
Oh man. No, dude, when I was young, I used to think about this 1-800 Sugar, like whatever, right? The words, I'm like, how do you type that shit down?
Yeah. Then you realize it's so.
Yeah. Then I'm like, okay, yeah, this is what they do in the West. I feel a little Western. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, what's one last message you'd like to put out for our community or audience? Anything.
Are you?
It could be really short or like, yeah, this is just to like get you really like to put you on the spot.
Something that I've learned the hard way is that it's okay to say no. It's okay to say no to yourself. So you don't need this. You don't need this 17th brown lipstick. You know, it's okay to say no to yourself. It's okay to say no to other people. Like, I think a lot of us get our sense of self-worth from doing as much as we possibly can.
To please others also.
To please others. And beyond a point, you're not helping anyone. I mean, yes, all of these people are getting what they want, but are you getting what you want? So I think that's something, especially this week, is something that I've just been observing is, you know, it's okay to say, no, I can't do this. Or no, I can't reply to you in the next 10 minutes. Like, I need a certain amount of time. Whatever it is, like learning to say no, I think is hugely beneficial for everybody.
Yeah. I think when I reached out to you first...
Should I have said no to this podcast? No.
When I first reached out to you, you said, no, we can't do it right now. Which makes sense. And we discussed that as well, right?
Yeah.
You were going through something and I kind of resonated with that because I went through that a couple of months ago as well.
Yeah.
But there was nothing wrong with that. You said it and it was that. And then we got past it and now you asked me to reach out to you later and I did that. And now it's happening.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's okay to to just take care of yourself. Like it doesn't, I feel like some people get to self-care only like when their lives are running on fumes, you know, like it doesn't have to get there, man. Sometimes you're just tired, like just cancel a lot of people message me about like mental health and stuff and they say, you know, what do you do on days when you just can't get out of bed? Stay in bed, don't. For one day you can stay in bed. Like if you had a fever, if you had a sprain, you would have stayed in bed, no? So what? Like if you're just feeling really shitty one day, and obviously not saying do this every day, but if you have one really bad day, just sleep. It's okay. It's okay to say no. And like when you reached out to me, my granddad had just passed away. There was like all kinds of chaos going on at home. Like it was just such a mess and I had so much going on. There's no way I would have been mentally present to even have a conversation. So it's actually for the betterment of the podcast that I said no at that time. And now I'm fully present because if I had said yes then, just for the sake of saying yes, I would have probably been late. I would have probably been scatterbrained. I would have probably, you know, not have had as much energy.
Just free flowing, probably.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So sometimes saying no will help you get an even better result.
Yeah. I'm glad also because we had a few things, I don't know if I mentioned to you, but a few confusions of, you know, where we were shooting, who was going to help us. There was a lot of other things that was on the cards.
Hmm.
Didn't work out. Glad it didn't. And we're finally here. I love the space. I love that we're finally making
it. It all worked out.
It all worked out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Awesome. And finally, if you had to send people online, where can we send them?
Send them online means?
To your...
Oh, for me.
Yeah. You're that already in that level.
No. Send people online means, I'm like, for what purposes? Like...
Send UPI. UPI payment. Okay.
Send people online means www.google.com online. No, my brain is slowly shutting down now. The hangover is...
I'll get you one more coffee and then burger as well. Yeah.
Not one more coffee. I'm going to... It's like a... I'm at a weird intersection now between tiredness and caffeinated. Like, it's a hard crash from here. Anyway, online, on Instagram, I'm Take It Easy Policy. On Twitter, I'm Kingfisher on Tap.
Whoa.
Yes, Kingfisher on Tap. I mean, I'm most active only in those two places. And like I have on my Instagram, there is one link which has all the other links. So just go to Instagram.
That's enough.
If you don't have Instagram, sorry.
Sorry. Google it and you can still find the link through the Instagram profile.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway,
like thank you so much, Urushi, for making this happen.
Thank you for making this happen and not forgetting about it after I was like, sorry, not right now. Yeah. No,
of course. I have like a list of people that, especially Bangaloreans and especially people we all might already know who I'm trying to, you know, get on the show. And again, different thoughts, different whatever conversations and all of that.
Yeah.
But glad we could finally make this happen. And I'll say this to you, which I say to all my other guests. We'll have you here again once we're past this, maybe a big milestone. And once we're past that, you can come back and talk about so many other things.
What is this big milestone?
Maybe, maybe hitting 50 or 100 episode mark. That itself is like a big deal.
Like that.
Like we discussed earlier, right? So try to keep at it. It's one more episode than not putting it out there.
If you can get enough mics and cameras, you should do a round table, man. I think you've interviewed a lot of interesting people who would... I'm giving you unsolicited gyan about your own podcast.
No, it makes sense.
Round tables are great.
Yeah, it is. And I think the kind of people who can talk to other people respecting what they have to say is very key, right?
Yeah.
Can't just talk over each other and start yelling and saying some shit.
Oh, that's the news.
Oh, yeah.
You don't watch it.
Correct.
Yeah.
So also some place on Clubhouse as well. So,
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, thank you so much, Urushi. And that's pretty much it.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for having me. Happy Friday. Is it Friday? Thursday?
Ganesh Abba.
It's Friday. Happy Friday. Happy Ganesh Abba.
Oh, man.
So yeah, that concludes part 2 of my conversation with Urushi. That part about just cutting down on your expenses, Drastically was such a good reminder for me personally. When I heard us talking about it, it kind of reinforced everything that I'm doing here. Every time I think about how much we actually need to earn, right? If that's the right way to put it. Because everyone's always caught in the cycle or this process of just one-upping yourself in terms of how much you're earning every year, and with earning more comes, well, lifestyle creep that I spoke about earlier, and how you just want to end up spending more to kind of compensate for that increase in your income. But I think it takes some serious conviction, discipline, and intentionalism. Might I say intentionalism? Yeah. To kind of draw the line and know that, okay, this is all that I need, and this is what is going to make me happy or keep me content. So yeah, this episode really helped me with that for sure. So if you found this useful, then there are a couple of things you can actually do to support the show. The first and foremost is, if you're watching this on YouTube and you haven't hit the like button, then man, just hit the like button. It's such an easy thing. I have to tell myself to do that a whole bunch of times when I'm consuming other creators' content, things that I like, because I don't normally hit the like button as well. So here I am telling you guys, hey, hit the like button if you're still here watching this episode. And yeah, subscribe and leave a comment too if you haven't done that as well. If you have an Apple device, you can actually leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. So yeah, head on down to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and review. It helps with an algorithm, a different algorithm albeit, but yeah, gets the audio show in front of more people, and that's what I'd like to do. You know, I'm creating all of this literally for free right now to get the show in front of more people. So yeah, I'm just hoping that you can either leave a rating or review, or just share the episode with your friends and family members. Anyone who you feel would benefit from listening to a conversation such as this in their journey. And yeah, if you actually did find enough value from both these parts of my conversation, then may I recommend checking out the entire series of Against the Odds. Head on down to YouTube and check out the entire playlist. But because, you know, it's a little tough to watch the entire conversation, because obviously this is long form conversation, right? Maybe I can recommend that you go check it out on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. So yeah, maybe listening to it as opposed to watching it might make sense. But I'm sure as you listen to the conversation, there would be instances where you'd want to come on down to our YouTube channel and check out those bits. So yeah, I mean, I leave it up to you how you want to consume it. But try listening to the conversations from the beginning and you'll see a whole bunch of things. You'll see different perspectives by different creators, entrepreneurs, freelancers, and whatnot. But you'll also see another thing. You'll see how I have personally transitioned, you know, from the level of content that I was creating then, the level of quality that I was creating then, to, and also the level at which I was able to hold a conversation, or the way I was able to talk to the camera, the way I'm doing right now. This is really off the cuff. I'm not even looking down here, right? So I'm trying to cut down on the R's, M's, likes, and, you know, try to really see how I can improve as a conversationalist. And I think you can definitely see that transition. So what I'm trying to really do with the show too is to kind of really do things practically, right? So the more you can actually relate to the fact that, man, this guy is able to do it over a couple of months or maybe a couple of years, depending on when you're listening to this, it probably will give you the push to do what you want with your life. At least that's what I'm hoping. But yeah, the idea is just trying to get started with something without entirely being prepared for it, if that makes sense. And, you know, really learning along the way. And the journey as opposed to goals and milestones, if I'd like to put it that way. Anyway, I'm just ranting right now. Either ways, if you like the episode, then consider checking out the entire series. I'll leave links to all of it in the description below. And yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. See you guys in the next one. Cheers.